Join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we got some special things planned for tonight, and we'll be talking about more about it as the program goes on. But I do want to let you know about a couple of things, which I'll get to here in just a moment after we pray and make a few announcements here. So let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for the opportunity we had to be on the air tonight. Pray that you would bless the program this evening. Use it for your glory. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And Lord, again, we just pray that through it all, Lord, that we just glorify and lift up our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, we do pray that you would bless and use the program tonight and help us, Lord. And we just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. As I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis. I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And we certainly invite you to come out and visit us. You can find out more about the program, more about me, and about our church if you go to livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And when you get there, you'll find a number of things there. You can listen to some past programs. If you don't stay up for all 2 hours of our Sunday night program, you can listen to hour number two there as well. And you can listen to the 10 o'clock hour and the 11 o'clock hour. Both hours are listed separately, so you can check out which one there. You can listen to both of them if you'd like. And also, if you don't listen to our Friday program, sometimes people are unable to on Friday afternoon. We have a half-hour program every Friday at 1:30 right here on AM 1220 The Word. And you can listen to those programs there as well at livewithpastoral.com. There's also a number of articles and different things that I have there that you can all find at livewithpastoral.com. You can link to our home church, the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. We meet at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, Ohio. And that's really the corner of Wheatley Road, Brecksville Road, is where we're our commercial building is located. As I tell people, if you're looking for a building with a steeple, you won't find us. You have to look for our door. We're in a little commercial space at 4174 Wheatley Road, and we're in suite number 200. That's near where Interstate 271, Interstate 277, or I'm sorry, 77 and 271 cross, and midway between Akron and Cleveland, easy to get to. We'd love to have you visit us out there. We have our Friday night Bible study every Friday night, 7 to 9. It's an informal Bible study where you bring the questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's Word, and we just spend some time fellowshipping around God's Word. We have refreshments that are available, and it's a free format where people bring questions and we interchange and ask questions and make comments and things like that. And we just have a great time for a couple of hours every Friday night from 7 to 9, just fellowshipping around the Word of God and talking about it and making sense of it and making sense of the Word, the world around us in light of it. And of course, you get to enjoy some refreshments along with that. That's always kind of nice. There's usually coffee and maybe some donuts or maybe some other stuff occasionally. Last time I said we had pizza on occasion. The next Friday night, we had pizza, which is kind of nice. So I should say that more often. We have pizza on occasion. And on occasion, we even have East Coast pizza from East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, which is, of course, one of our sponsors in addition to the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And, you know, really, it's a great pizza, and you can find them on Turney Road. They are right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. If you're familiar with the area there, that is 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give them a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Usually I mention them later in the program, but the subject of pizza come up, and when I think of pizza, I can't help but think of Gus there and East Coast Pizza, and they got fantastic pizza there. So give them a call, 216-341-9100. Tell them you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. All right. Well, mentioning that, I need to mention, too, we also have our Sunday services are also there at the same location, 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. And this Sunday, our schedule will be somewhat different than normal. Much of it similar, but there'll be some changes later in the later part of the day. But normally, we have a morning service at 11 o'clock, and I'm currently preaching through the Gospel of John. I'm in John chapter 6 right now. And then on Sunday nights, I'm preaching through the book of Proverbs at our 6 o'clock service every Sunday evening. And I'm currently in Proverbs chapter 25. And we have coming up, though, this coming weekend, 1 week from today, is our church's 41st anniversary celebration. We'll be celebrating 41 years serving the Lord, preaching the gospel in Richfield and regions beyond from there. And we certainly like to invite you to come out and visit. We have our morning service, as I said, at 11 o'clock, and we're going to have special music with Eric Howitt. And some of our listeners are familiar with Eric Howitt. He's a very gifted gospel soloist. He sings a lot of great gospel hymns, and is always a blessing to hear him and enjoy him. He will be singing for us some special music during the morning service. And then after the morning service at 12:30, we're planning a anniversary dinner at the church. And we certainly invite people to come. We have some people that they're in their church for their morning service, which is fine. It's what you ought to be doing. If you have a good church that preaches the Word of God, you ought to be there on Sunday morning. But we do have some friends in some other churches that after their morning service, they come and join us for our anniversary dinner. And so we always enjoy having some friends there during our anniversary dinner. And that's at 12:30. And then after that, at 2 o'clock, Eric Howitt will be singing for us. It'll be a little gospel concert, no charge, just a nice time of fun, fellowship, and enjoying some songs that lift up and glorify Christ. And of course, then after Eric Howitt has sang, that's the better phrase, I guess, has sang, after the singing, we don't depart right away. Everybody usually stays around fellowships for a while. And generally speaking, there's leftovers, especially some leftover desserts from the dinner earlier on. And so usually people enjoy a few of the leftovers and some fellowship, and we just kind of break up whenever. Now, saying all that, too, to also let you know that there will be no evening service this coming Sunday. As I said, normally we have an evening service at 6 o'clock, and this coming Sunday on September 17th, because of our anniversary services, we will not be having the evening service. Instead, we'll just have the morning service at 11, the dinner and fellowship at 12:30, and then the gospel concert with Eric Howitt at 2 o'clock. And we'll just go to whenever fellowshipping after that. So no Sunday evening service coming up a week from today. After that, we'll be back on our regular schedule again. So just want to let you know our anniversary service celebration this coming Sunday. Certainly invite you to come out and visit us. All right, let's see. What else do I need to mention here before we get into our callers? We've got a couple of callers lined up already here. I also want to mention that tomorrow, of course, actually in just less than 2 hours, the anniversary of of the anniversary and commemoration remembrance of September 11 attacks from 2001. It's also known as Patriot Day, and I believe that designation was there before the 9/11 attacks, but it is kind of a fitting title to the day that we set aside to remember the heroics of some of the people who rose, you know, in the face of unimaginable evil on that day, and it is a day that we should remember. We will be talking about that in the 11 o'clock hour, and we've got a couple of things that we're going to be doing as we come out of the break into the beginning of the 11 o'clock hour. I'm going to be playing a clip. I think it's about 3 minutes or so long, a little over 3 minutes, and it's a compilation of audio clips from everything from air traffic controllers, people's messages that they left on answering machines, people inside of buildings, and just a variety of pieces together. It's derived from the TSA website. They had a thing there that I was able to get some of this from. And so we'll be playing that going into the 11 o'clock hour. And then my good friend Khalid Namar will be joining us in the 11 o'clock hour. And we're just going to talk about 9/11, share some thoughts and some remembrances. And of course, Khalid, those of you who know him, he has been on the program with me in the past, I think about a month or more ago. He hosts a new program on our sister station, 1420. Called Rising Tides, and it's on every Sunday night live from 9 o'clock until 11 o'clock. So he'll be finishing up at 11, and he's going to come over and join us for at least a few minutes. We'll see how long, and in the first half hour after 11 o'clock. So if you want to chime in with some thoughts on 9/11 and what you remember, stay tuned for our 11 o'clock hour tonight. We'll be talking about that at that time extensively. All right. Well, again, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. And I believe Nancy was our first caller this evening. Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call.
Hi, good evening.
And yes. Good evening to you. Now, my question or comments tonight are regarding Genesis 2 and 3, very famous Bible verses, Genesis 2:17, where God is talking to Adam, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Not
right.
Eve. Eve in chapter 3, verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree, which is the stuff of the serpent, the devil, the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. Now, that's not accurate, lest ye die. And then the serpent deceives Eve by saying in verse 4, chapter 3, verse 4, serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Now, that seems like the beginning of the New Age religion, but that's I don't want to go there. What my question is, Adam gets blamed for committing the first sin, but actually Eve did. Okay, she was deceived by the serpent, but aren't millions of people deceived by apostate churches, and yet they end up going to hell because they don't know the truth? So Eve was deceived, but it seems to me that Eve gets a pass because she was deceived, but she still committed the first sin. So if you can comment on that, I'd appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, well, certainly. And when you look at that, you're absolutely right. I know you didn't want to go into the New Age thing, but I just have to comment in passing on it. You're absolutely right. That does sound like the start of a New Age teaching, doesn't it? Ye shall be as gods.
Yes, it does.
That's exactly what the New Age is teaching. Ye shall be as gods. And it was a lie when the devil said it to Eve, and it's a lie when he's saying it to the New Agers today. So that is just a flat out a lie from the devil. But looking at this, the problem that Eve had is that she had added to the Word of God. And this is why we need to be accurate with the Word of God. And I readily admit there's times that I've misquoted. There's times that I've misstated. There's times that I've misremembered. And, there's the old joke about, somebody said they just knew that cleanliness is next to godliness is in the Bible. And they finally found it in First Hesitations or something like that, But there's a lot of things that we try to think God should have said or think God might have said. And that's why, as a pastor of a fundamental Bible-believing Baptist church, I want people to bring their Bible to church with them. And I want them to open it when I preach, because I want them to follow in the Bible and see if what I'm saying corresponds to the Bible or not. And that's what Eve's problem was. Now, obviously, she didn't have a Bible, but certainly she had a better mind than what we have today. I mean, she was created perfect, and yet she misremembered or misstated, whatever the case was, what God had said. As you pointed out, God said not to eat of the tree lest you die, and she said, well, he said not to eat it or touch it. And then, of course, the devil certainly pounced on that as a way to lie, because, you think about it. When Eve touched the fruit, she didn't die. So she had it in her head that if she touched it, she would die. She didn't die. So guess what? Sounds like the devil's right. And so now the next thing is eating it. Well, I didn't die when I touched it, so obviously I won't die when I eat it. But see, the thing of it was, the death that's being referred to was not physical death, although that came as a result of their sin. The death that was being referred to was spiritual death, being separated from God in a spiritual sense, their fellowship being cut off. And so when she touched the fruit, there was no prohibition against touching the fruit. You know, they could have played catch with the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Wouldn't have been a wise thing to do, but they could have. There was no prohibition against touching it. So obviously nothing bad happened when she touched it. What happened was when she ate it. And that's and yes, she sinned. And when she sinned, she died spiritually immediately. You know, God had told Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, and I used to wonder, well, they ate from the forbidden tree, and they didn't die immediately. They lived for hundreds of years and had sons and daughters. What gives here? Oh. Well, they did die immediately spiritually. So,
Adam gets blamed for being...
We'll come to him. We'll come to him. But I'm just saying, so Eve, even though she was tricked into eating it, the moment she ate it, I believe that she died spiritually right at that moment. She noticed a change that she didn't notice when she touched it, because there was no prohibition against touching it. But when she ate it, she directly disobeyed God's command, and now she experienced evil, which was really the not the opposite of good, but the lack of good, because she knew good. That's all she knew, because she had never disobeyed God. So she did not know evil until she disobeyed God. Now she knows good and evil. See? So she realized what happened, and she gives it to Adam, and Adam was not deceived. But Adam saw what his wife had done, and he now had to make a choice. Will I stay true to God, or will I follow Eve into sin? And the reason that the Bible says that sin came into the world through Adam. In fact, in Romans chapter 5, Paul says, verse number 12, he says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And so he's talking about Adam here, not Eve. Mm-hmm. And the reason is Adam was created first, and Adam was given charge over God's creation, over the world. Adam was the one that was given the responsibility. Eve was created as his helpmeet. She wasn't created to be a second-class citizen to be walked on and taken for granted. She was created to help him and assist him in the incredible job that God had placed upon him of caring for God's creation on the earth. And so as such, God had established a line of authority that went from God to Adam, then to Eve. And it wasn't to God, to Eve, and then Adam. So since Adam was the one who was in charge, and by no means was Eve deficient mentally or intellectually compared to Adam, they were both, you know, if they were alive today, Adam or Eve would easily be one of the, you know, they'd be the smartest two people on earth, easily. You know, they were created, their mind was perfect, their brains were perfect, they had not had the effects of sin entering in, they not had the effects of bad genes and you know, the degradation of our physical being that has occurred since then. They were created perfect, and so intellectually, they would have made Einstein look like, you know, a toddler. Probably they would have been geniuses, incredibly intelligent people, and physically they would have been prime specimens of humanity. But Adam was the one who was given first authority. Eve was in the advisorial. I'm having trouble talking tonight. I don't want to say adversarial. She was in the role of an advisor, a helper. Somebody to assist Adam in the work that was given to him. And also, she was given the responsibility, of course, to be the mother of all the children that would come into the world, because they were given the command to populate the world, to be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. And so she was a very vital part of the team. But, you know, in any team, there has to be a team leader, and that team leader was Adam. And so since Adam had the responsibility, when Adam chose to disobey God, that's where sin entered into the world as a result of Adam. And that's why Paul wrote, as by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And so this is the one man, Adam, by which, you know, sin came into the world, and not Eve. Had Eve been given the role of primary authority, then Eve's sin would have brought sin into the world, and I guess we could have read here, whereas by one woman sin entered into the world and death by sin, you know, because she would have had the authority. And so as a consequence, though Eve had responsibility and culpability in the sin and in Adam's sin, she was not the authority that Adam was. And because Adam was the authority figure, the one that God had entrusted with the care of his creation, this is where, as because of Adam's sin, that the world was plunged into sin and death came upon all men. And this also tells us, too, that the sin nature passed from Adam to his children, not from Eve to his children. And kind of interesting. So, you know, when a young couple has children and the children are misbehaving, you know, that I guess that gives the wife the ability to blame misbehavior on the husband, because that's where the sin nature comes from. We kind of make light of it, but hey, the wife has a sin nature too, and we all do, because we're all descendants of Adam. So,
well, you explained it very well. Thank you so much.
Oh, and absolutely.
You're going to devote the 11th hour to 9/11, So you probably have other callers.
Yeah, we're going to get to
them. Thank you so much for explaining it. I'm very happy with that. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that. And thank you for the call tonight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we've got Terry up next. Terry's been waiting patiently for us. Terry, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening. I know we got about 5 minutes before the break, and I think we got another caller on the board there, too. So if need be, we can carry you over the other side here into the next half hour, but we'll go ahead and get started with you tonight here. Glad to have you with us tonight.
Thank you. I thought I'd continue the conversation that you just had
Nancy, yes.
Nancy, and, about Adam and Eve. And, one thing that Adam did is Adam blamed Eve, and Eve blamed the serpent.
Right, right.
Didn't want to take any responsibilities.
Yeah, when God confronted them on it, it's the woman that you gave. And you know what Adam was doing? He was blaming it on God.
Yeah.
The woman that you gave me.
Yeah. And meanwhile, it was his fault.
Yeah, because he was Adam's given fault. Clear instructions by God.
Yeah.
So,
and he said that to the woman, he said, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman,
yeah,
between thy seed and her seed.
Yeah,
thou shalt bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel."
And actually, that shows in a nutshell there the coming conflict between the devil and humanity leading up into the line of the Messiah, really, as you follow through that, because, of course, the Messiah was going to be the seed of the woman. And interestingly enough, when we were talking with Nancy earlier, it's not through the seed of the man that salvation came into the world. It was by one man sending it into the world, but Jesus Christ did not have an earthly father. And so it's the seed of the woman. That was part of the necessity of the virgin birth, because, of course, if Jesus had an earthly father, he would have inherited a sin nature as well.
Right. And then it says unto the woman, he shall greatly multiply thy sorrows in conception, in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of women nowadays don't want to hear that one.
Well, yeah, and there's several things going on there, everything from, conception and childbirth to the relationship in the marriage. And as an aside here, and I know we've got a break coming up here, we'll break in just a few minutes and hold you over if you can. I grew up on a small farm. I've seen a number of different animals give birth. And then, of course, when I went to college as a biology major, I looked at a number of things and studied anatomy and physiology of farm animals and different courses that I had. And in the course of it, I've seen videos and firsthand experience of a variety of other animals giving birth. And, generally speaking, unless there's some problem, generally speaking, most animals, when they give birth, do not have the degree of pain that women do. And this goes back to this passage here. It really does. God said he'd greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And then this portion here, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Thy desire shall be to thy husband. When you look at that, desire for their husband, but he has the rule over her. That's the lines of authority. But in both cases, that gets abused, doesn't it? And the wife chafes against the line of authority. It says nothing, again, as I told Nancy, it says nothing about women being second-class citizens or anything like that or lesser qualified. Yeah. It's just that there has to be a line of authority. Anybody that's been right in the military understands that. A chief master sergeant is certainly eminently more qualified, knowledgeable than a second lieutenant. But that second lieutenant has more authority than that chief master sergeant. And of course, if he's smart, he'll ask the chief master sergeant for his advice on things. And so there's got to be lines of authority, because God's not the author of confusion. He wants things to be done in orderly fashion. And so a lot of women will chafe at that. Or conversely, a lot of men will simply not exercise the authority that they should. I hear the music coming up there. Terry, can you hold over the break?
Yes.
All right. Well, we will hold over the break, so stay tuned. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. Be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And want to encourage you to check us out online at our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me. You can find out more about the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and all that's available at livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs there, all both hours of our Sunday night program, our Friday night half hour every Friday afternoon at 1:30. You can listen to all that and read a number of articles and some other materials that are all available at livewithpastoral.com. And, of course, I want a reminder, remind you that we have a special Sunday planned at our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. This coming Sunday is our anniversary service, and so we will not have an evening service. Instead, we just have a whole lineup starting in the morning. Our 11 o'clock service, we will have special music with Eric Howitt a very talented gospel soloist, be singing for us, singing some great gospel hymns, and then during the morning service. And then after the morning service, we're going to have a celebration anniversary dinner at the church, start about 12:30. And if you can come, we'd love to have you. There are some friends that come from other churches that they have their services in the morning. And then after their services are over, they join us for the dinner in the afternoon. And so you're certainly welcome to do that. And then at 2 o'clock, Eric Howitt will be providing special music, a free gospel concert. And it's always a blessing, always enjoyable. And it's always kind of like to joke a little bit because, you know, everybody's full and he's got to keep everybody awake. So it can be a challenge, but he's a good singer, very talented, loves the Lord, and sings some great hymns of the faith. And just very, very good. We've had him for years now. We always enjoy his fellowship. And so that's coming up. And then we're not having an evening service after the gospel concert. We'll certainly fellowship for a while till whenever. And then any of the leftover food that's there, especially desserts, probably usually everybody, a lot of times people sample some more of the desserts and things, or just have another meal even afterwards, depending on what leftovers we have. But we'd love to have you come out and visit. That's our anniversary service, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, located at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200, coming up this Sunday, September 17th. Of course, tomorrow is the anniversary, the commemoration of September 11 attacks. And just a terrible day, if you remember that. In the 11 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking about that. We have some people who will be chiming in on that. Khalid Damar, host of Rising Tides on our sister station, 1420, will be joining us in the studio. His program runs from 9 o'clock until 11 o'clock on, as I said, on our sister station, 1420. And then when he's done over there, he's going to come over here and join us in studio. He's just across the way there a little bit. He's going to join us during the 11 o'clock hour. We're going to share some thoughts and everything, and Seth, our producer, is going to chime in with a few thoughts as well, some remembrances on 9/11. And so we'll just we'll go from there at the start of the program and see where we go. But I will be opening the program with an audio clip as we come out of the announcement at the beginning. So you'll want to stay tuned for that as well. All right, as I said, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. We've got callers lighting up here. So, Terry, you still there with us?
Yes.
Hi, we were talking about Adam and Eve their sin and the things that were going on there. And as looking at the board there, we've got a couple more people calling in. So we'll spend a few more minutes on this, then I'll have to jump to some of the other callers. So where were we when we were kicking this off?
We were talking about Eve and what she did. And
right.
Then, I was going to say something came to me. Every time I read this, something comes to me. One thing that came to me is that Adam had was punished worse than Eve, I would think.
Well, it's because he was responsible. He had the responsibility, and as I was telling with Nancy in the last half hour, the line of authority there. In fact, if you look at it in First Corinthians chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. God says, or Paul writes this, and of course I started to say God says this because Paul's writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so this is what God says. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says this in starting in verse 3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Now let me pause there for a minute. What he's talking about head, he's talking about authority. He's talking about lines of authority here, and I said previously that people who are in the military understand this. You understand lines of authority. Everybody has a line of authority, I mentioned too that lines of authority don't necessarily mean one person is superior in their knowledge or their ability or something, because obviously a sergeant major or a chief master sergeant, I was in the Air Force, we had chief master sergeant. Chief master sergeant's a lot more knowledgeable, a lot more experienced, a lot more able than a second lieutenant. But guess what? the second lieutenant, because he's a commissioned officer, outranks the chief master sergeant, who's only a non-commissioned officer. And so as a result, the second lieutenant has greater authority. He has command authority over that, you know, that chief master sergeant. Now, if he's a smart second lieutenant, he'll want that chief master sergeant's advice and input on everything that he does, because that's a wealth of information and experience he can tap into so that eventually he can become a better officer. But anyway, you know, talking about lines of authority, when Paul writes here that the head of every man is Christ, he's talking about our line of authority, it goes from the man to Christ. And then he says this, and the head of the woman is the man. Now, some people would say, well, Christ is obviously superior to the man, so that means the man's superior to the woman. No, that's not what it's talking about here, and you'll see that in just a minute in the next clause. And so it says the line of authority. This is God-given line of authority. People make of it what they want. They can chafe against it, or they accept it. They can believe it, or they can reject it. He says that the line of authority runs from Christ, Jesus Christ, to the man. The head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. So it goes from Christ to the man to the woman. And that's the way it was with Adam and Eve. The authority, line of authority, went from God, in that case, to Adam, to Eve. Now look what it says at the end of verse number 3. And the head of Christ is God. Is Jesus Christ inferior to God? Absolutely not, because Jesus Christ is God. So, you know, we're talking about the Godhead here, or God the Father, I guess you could say. And there's a line of authority that's laid down in the Scripture. Jesus said he does the works that the Father told him to do, says the things the Father told him to say. That's one of the ways he defends in if you go back to John chapter 5 in particular, he talks about the works that he does and the things that he does, and that he does them because that's what the Father tells him to do. God the Son is not inferior to God the Father, but the line of authority in the Godhead runs from God the Father to God the Son. So what we have in this passage here is the authority from God runs from God, God the Father, to God the Son, Jesus Christ, and from Christ to the man, and from the man to the woman. Those are lines of authority, and just as Jesus is not inferior, God the Son is not inferior to God the Father, the woman is not inferior to the man. It's just the lines of authority that God has ordained. And that's what the Bible talks about. God, if you go down a little further in the chapter to verse number, in verse number 8 it says, for the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. And again, that reflects those lines of authority. Adam was created first. He was given responsibility to care for God's creation. Then Eve was created out of Adam, out of his rib. She was created and given to him as a helpmeet in order to assist him in the great work that God had given him to do. And so it says in verse 12, for as the woman is of the man, even so is the man also by the woman, but all things of God. So the man and the woman are working together in concert, but God ultimately is in charge. And so it's our responsibility to line up in these divinely laid down lines of authority. And of course, what if there isn't a man in the picture? Well, obviously the woman has to take charge. Because if you take out the man, then that leaves her. It's just like in the military. One of the nice things about our military structure is if something happens to that lieutenant, the sergeant is there to take up the slack and can assume. You know, we have that ability that people can take up, can step in. But it still doesn't change the fact that there's an ordained line of authority. And just like the military has an ordained line of authority, God has ordained lines of authority from God the Father to God the Son to the man to the woman. And it's so that things can be done decently and in order. It has nothing to do with man or women being superior or inferior to each other. It has everything to do with God created Adam first, charged him with caring for his creation, and then out of Adam created the woman for the purpose of assisting the man in the work that God had divinely ordained them to. So hopefully that covers some of that.
Yes, you just helped me. You just gave me more clarity.
Well,
one thing I was going to say is that about 9/11 is I'd like to thank all the heroes of 9/11.
Yes, yes.
I've done a lot of studying in 9/11, so I'd like to thank them.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that did tremendous work, and some of them have paid the price for it. There's been people who have gotten sick and died as a result of things they were exposed to in the process of trying to rescue people and recover people and things like that. So, yeah, we'll be talking about that in the second hour, in the 11 o'clock hour. So appreciate that, Terry.
Yep.
I got some callers to get to, so thank you for the call tonight, Terry. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Cheryl who's waiting patiently for us tonight. Cheryl, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's really nice to be here.
Right.
I want to first commend you because you are a man of honor. You have demonstrated that you will follow the word of God, even though there might be consequences. And that had to do with in the Nancy's discussion mm-hmm. that the ill behavior of the children could be traced back to the father rather than the mother. So I thought that was pretty brave that you, would talk about that, because it certainly put you on the line for...
well, that's where the inheritance of the sin nature comes from.
Yeah, for the accountability, yes. But the reason that I called, and actually everything tonight seems to be all woven together, is the whole concept that we talked about today related to Satan creating idols,
mm-hmm.
and it came from your, example of the government enticing single women to have babies because the government would subsidize them, but it would not be done if they married. And I put this in the category of being really sharp and alert to the devil's doings, and that we really need to have. And I had never had thought of it that way. Of course, mm-hmm. no other idols before the Lord.
Let me interject something on there for our listeners who might not be as familiar with what we're talking about. We're talking about how in the Great Society in the 1960s, one of the things that was done, and of course it was justified for, you know, good reasons, of taking care of single women who were, you know, stuck trying to raise children, and they had no money, they had no resources, and so, you know, compassion, let's take care of them. But see, the problem is that these single women were basically being paid to have children. And that's what developed to where they would have more children, they would get more money. You know, I know when I was growing up, my dad did not get a raise when my siblings were born. You know, he didn't get a raise because his wife had more children. Instead, he had the same. He had to stretch his money further. But under the Great Society welfare programs, you know, you would get so much money per child. But if you married the father of the child, or you married anybody who was willing to be a father to the child, the money would dry up. You would lose money. And so there were cases where women were not marrying and having children simply so that they could get the money. And, you know, men were coming and going. And government basically became daddy, in a sense, and provider. And it was it's one of the ways the devil has attacked the fundamental building block of society, which is the family, husband, wife, and children. That is the cornerstone, the fundamental building block of society. You need families to have good communities, and you have to have good communities to have good nations. And you know, when you destroy the family, you're striking at the foundations of civilized society. And the devil knows that. And so he can accomplish his will through compassionate means just as well as he can through non-compassionate means. And so that kind of catches up people with where we're talking about here.
Right. And I think the whole thing is how much of that was done, not only deceitfully, but cryptically.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's like people weren't aware that, aha, this is what's happening, and how we need to be so aware constantly of what is creeping in.
Right. And we have to be careful. Remember that during the Cold War, the Soviets had a term for people who they could fool and get to embrace and further their causes, thinking they were doing a good thing. They called them useful idiots. And
yeah.
I think the devil does the same thing. Right. He gets people thinking they're doing the right thing, the compassionate thing, and they're really useful idiots. They're furthering the devil's goals, destroying society. And another thing that good families are foundational to, not just society, but also to churches, because families are the backbone of churches. And you need good families to have good churches, and you need good churches to have good communities. So we put churches in that mix there too. And the devil knows that he's destroying churches because he takes the authority figures out that God put there. He replaces the man with the government, and it's not a good recipe.
Right. And so we've all been, or many have been deceived before they ever figure that out. It's kind of the the whole Uncle Tom thing, when black people realize what has been shrouded in front of them, deceitfully, and they finally get it, and they're chastised by their own people.
Mm-hmm.
They won't listen to some people who have really figured it out.
Yes.
Anyway, I think that's a really important thing to teach people, this alertness, this awareness of really look at the agenda behind what is happening in front of you. And it may not be, and in fact now, in many ways, it's not what it is, the reason that it's explained to be.
Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely, and that's good that you brought that up for us tonight, Cheryl. I appreciate that. I just wanted to mention, I got another caller that I got to try and get to before we run out of time here. Did you want to add anything more to that before I jump to him?
No, I think we're done.
All right.
Really
hey,
good.
Hey, I appreciate that. Thank you so much, Cheryl. Thank you for calling in tonight. And we've got Dave calling in. Dave, welcome to the program.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi.
I'm from Canton Township.
Yes.
I listen to your program. Oh, I've been listening. I think you started, in 2004?
17 years ago when we started.
Somewhere. So, yeah. Well, I listened to Ernie, then Richard, and then you. Now, listen, you are, I want to say this because I wrote it down. Your program is entertaining, inspiring, and encouraging, and you also touch the world with the love of Christ, His hope and grace, and that is needed, His hope and grace that is needed every day in our lives. And I am blessed every time I listen to your program because you're so, you just are so interesting and you come up with so many different topics. I just don't know who else I could listen to but you three, and I listen every Sunday night, and I appreciate it. And I also want to interject, tomorrow is Patriot Day.
Right.
And it's 9/11, and I have my flags out around the home, at the house, and all around, like 5 or 6 flags. And everybody should fly their flag at least tomorrow, just like any other holiday, 4th of July, and
mm-hmm.
that, because it's very, very important.
You're absolutely right. And I want to thank you for those kind words. That's encouraging. And,
yes.
That's
You're entertaining. Entertaining, encouraging, entertaining, inspiring, and encouraging, and you also touch our world with the love of Christ, and hope and grace that is needed every day.
Well, I appreciate that. That's what we try to do. We try to lift up.
You're excellent. I know I talk too much, but I'm trying to say as much as I can. But I just love you and your topics. You always have something interesting. And I love to listen to Nancy. She's also nice. And I didn't hear much of the other ladies' program. But I have to say this. When they're using cell phones, they talk too close to the cell phone, and all I hear is mumble.
Well, and it is a challenge. That's where our producer, Seth, has a challenge making them clear.
It's easier. I have a regular home phone, and if they do call, I would prefer the callers to use a home phone, not the cell phones.
Yeah,
possibly.
What we call the landlines always
the
are
landlines,
clear,
yes,
but
I meant,
a lot of people don't have them now. So
yes. All right, thank you, and good night, and I love your program, and you always do an excellent job.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate that. Hope you'll stay tuned for our talking about 9/11 in the coming hour, in the 11 o'clock hour. And, you know, one of the things that we started when we started this program is we did want to be a blessing to people. You know, it certainly, we don't do the program in order to gain a lot of money. If that were the case, I would have failed miserably a long time ago. And we don't do the program in order to pack our church full of people. If that were the case, I would have failed a long time ago. We are not a big church. Somebody asked us, how big is your church? I said, well, you know, we have like 25, 30 people that come on a regular basis. That's not a big church. That's less than the average size church. And, you know, we meet in a commercial space. I think it's just over 2,000 square feet. So we're not in a huge location. But one of the things that we thought that we could do is invest some time and some of our money and effort into reaching out beyond our four walls. And this is one of the ways that we do it. You know, we do this as a way to reach out, to be encouraging, to point people to Christ. And we want to help develop a biblical worldview amongst people. That's what we try to do at our church. That's what we try to do in our services, at our Bible study. We try to encourage people to view the world through the lens of the Bible, the King James Bible. And in doing so, if we can be an encouragement, if we can make you smile, we can help you in some way, or maybe bless you, or just perk you up a little bit, we're always glad to do that, or help you learn something, always glad to do that. And we just thank God for the opportunity. Well, we've got a break coming up here. Stay tuned. And we're going to come out of the break with an audio clip on 9/11. So stay tuned.